I have heard the stories too often to count. Perhaps face to face, maybe on a phone call, a letter, an email, social media. I have no doubt that you have heard the stories. Perhaps you are experiencing the stories. Christians who are hurt, angry, lonely, tired. Christians experiencing betrayal, perhaps from a spouse, a friend, family member, a co-worker, from brethren. Christians who have been diagnosed with fatal and terminal illnesses and all of the sadness that goes along with that. Faithful believers in the Lord who have lost loved ones and the struggle that ensues. Disciples who face emotional, psychological, and mental struggles, shame, depression, anxiety, bouts of anger and wrath. I don't know what you're facing, but as you hear these stories and are reminded of them, is there someone that comes to your mind that you know that you've heard that story? Right now, is some experience in your own life being brought back to mind? Is the experience that you're going through in your life right now coming to mind? And when those events occur, Satan is there, wanting us to believe that the Lord has abandoned us. He wants us to believe that we, having left the medicines and the cures that were in the world as we were pursuing sin, that we've abandoned those and we've left those, and now, in our time of need, the Lord has abandoned us. Israel would teach us something different. In Exodus chapter 15, beginning at verse 22, Israel has been delivered from Egypt. The 10 plagues have occurred, the crossing of the Red Sea, the decimation of Pharaoh's army. And now they are delivered. They are free. They are saved. And they are certain that the promised land is an easy journey ahead. But then Exodus chapter 15 and verse 22. Then Moses made Israel set out from the Red Sea, and they went into the wilderness of Shur. They went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink the water of Marah because it was bitter. Therefore, it was named Marah, which means bitter. And the people grumbled against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And he cried to the Lord, he cried to Yahweh, or Jehovah, either word there. And Yahweh showed him a tree, and he threw it into the water, and the water became sweet. There Yahweh made for them a statute and a rule, and there he tested them, saying, If you will diligently listen to the voice of Yahweh your God and do that which is right in His eyes and give ear to His commandments and keep all His statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you that I put on the Egyptians, for I am Yahweh Rophe. I am the Lord your healer. Then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs of water and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the water. Israel would have us know that in the times of wilderness and in the times of bitterness, Yahweh has not abandoned us. He is still our Lord. He is still with us. And He alone, He is our healer. I am here this morning because I hope in this continuing look at the beginning of our identity, and turning to God to recognize that He is the beginning of our identity, that by the time we are done this morning, we will want Yahweh more than we want anything else. Because He and He alone is our healer. But I also want to give you something to grasp, a handle to take home with you. I would like to ask, yes, at the end of this lesson, I'm going to ask any and everyone who needs to turn their life over to Yahweh through Jesus Christ on the cross, the healing that He offers there. If you're still in your sins, Jesus went to the cross to heal you of those sins. And I'm going to ask you to turn your life over to Him, to be baptized into Him, immersed in that water, raised to walk in a new and healed life. I'm going to ask that of you. But I know there are plenty who have made that step. And what I'm going to ask of you this week, in your praying, do not simply pray to God as the ruler and commander and sovereign of the universe. Do not merely pray to God as the one who has commanded you to pray. Pray to God as Yahweh Rophe, as the Lord our healer. And when you pray, ask for His healing to be a part of your life. Because there is nothing else that can heal. I want to encourage you. Inside your program this morning, you were given a connection card. On the back side of that, when you fill that out, whether member or guest, let that be your next step. That this week, you will pray as to Yahweh Rophe, the Lord, our healer. Before we go on this morning, would you pray with me now? Elohim, Adonai, Yahweh, God, Master, and Lord. Yahweh Yireh, the Lord who provides, and in your mountain provision is made. Yahweh Makedesh, the Lord who makes holy, who sent your Son to the cross that we might be made holy. Yahweh Rophe, the Lord our healer. Heal us, we pray. Fill us with faith in you as our healer, that we would not turn to the medicines and seeming cures that we followed when we were in the world. But that when we face the times of bitterness and wilderness, that we will not drink the waters of Marah because they are worse, but that we will drink your living water that flows from your throne through the blood of Jesus Christ. And that having drunk your living water, we will thirst no more, that we will be satiated and satisfied, that we will be healed, and that we may take your message of healing to those who still suffer around us. Father, help us to spread your truth, that we might be set free by your truth. Help us to know that you do heal, that in your time and in your way, healing will come, and that by it you will be glorified and we will be benefited. Father, we look forward to that day when all things have been worked together for our good by your gracious and mighty hand. You and you alone are our healer, Yahweh Rophe. I do not know what each person in this audience is facing this morning. I know there are those who have recently experienced healing, and they are rejoicing, and they are excited, and they have nothing greater on their mind than to be here today to praise you and tell the story of their healing by your Son. I know that there are those who are here in the wilderness, and Satan is tempting them. I pray, Father, that you would test and prove them, that they would see that you are healer, that they will turn to you and hang on to you, desiring you above all other things, because you are Yahweh. You are the Lord who is here and who is present. And you are Yahweh Rophe. You are our healer. Thank you. How could we not love you, Father? Thank you for loving us first. Through your Son, we pray. Jesus the Christ. Amen. Yahweh Rophe, the Lord, our healer. The first thing I hope we can recognize as we consider what happened to Moses and Israel there in the wilderness is we simply need to understand that bitter times happen to the delivered. Bitter times happen to the delivered. If you have your program, you can open up to page 3. There's an interactive outline there. You can fill in and take notes under point 1. Bitter times happen to the delivered. Do you remember when you were baptized? Baptized into Christ, and you knew that you had been forgiven. You had recognized the promise of God, and He had said, he that believes and is baptized will be saved. And you believed that, and you knew it, and you went down into the watery grave, and you came up out of that grave, and things were different. You knew, not because of how you felt, but because of your faith in God's promise, you had been delivered. You had been saved. The Egyptian world that you had left behind was separated from you. They were decimated and destroyed in your life. And you knew that the promised land lay out before you, and you were excited, and you were rejoicing, and you were joyous, and it was wonderful. And your brothers and sisters, your new brothers and sisters gathered around, and they sang praises to God, and they hugged you, and they cried with you, and they laughed with you, and they rejoiced with you. And what a wonderful feeling that was. And then you went home, and you went to bed, and you woke up, and you still had to go to work. You still had to go to school. You still had to deal with that same family. You still had the same neighbors. And you still had the same struggles and temptations. And life went on. And troubles happened. And tragedies occurred. Traumas. People around you sinned, and then what you thought would never happen again happened again. You sinned. And you were in the wilderness. And there was part of you, that part that still gives Satan a hearing, that said, "What's wrong? It's not supposed to be this way. This should not happen. Why, God, have you allowed this wilderness and this bitter water?" Because here in our 21st century Christian America, we have the idea that things should always be easy, that the life of the Christian should be a gilded path, walking through a rose garden without thorns. Every sickness should have a pill that we can swallow and it be taken care of. Every crisis should be able to be resolved in under 42 and a half minutes. every issue dealt with easily. But Israel demonstrates to us a different lesson. Wilderness happens. Bitterness happens to the delivered. It's not because there's something wrong. It's because we live in a world with sinners. It's because we live in a fallen world. We live in a world that is defiled by sin. And that didn't change just because we were cleansed. This doesn't mean that the Lord has abandoned us. It doesn't mean that everything has gone wrong. It simply means we still live here. And yes, there are plenty of joyous and awesome times for the Christian. It is a wonderful life being a Christian. But wilderness does happen. And bitterness does happen. Just as it happened to Israel. And so we learn, only Yahweh can heal. Only Yahweh, I am the Lord your healer, he says. Only Yahweh can heal. Don't you know that the question that's being asked as Israel is wandering through the wilderness and they're not finding water is why? Why is this happening? Even now as we read the story, do you wonder, why didn't God plant Elam first? Why, when they got to Marah, did God allow the water to be bitter? Why? Why did he send them 3 days into the wilderness without any water? Because right here in the beginning of God's relationship with Israel, he needed them to understand their relationship with him and his relationship with them. They needed to understand more desperately their dependence on him. They needed to know that they were not self-sufficient, that the Lord is the healer and they are not. I want you to put yourself in the shoes of the Israelites. See if you can imagine being there with the Israelites. You take off from the Red Sea. You've got your stores and your supplies. And you go through the first day. And there's no water. No big deal. Surely we brought stores and supplies of water along with us to make it at least one day. Tomorrow we'll find more water and replenish our stores and supplies. But then day two. And no water. Did we bring enough to last 2 days in the wilderness? How much water would more than 1 million people have to carry along with us to last 2 days in the wilderness? That's a lot of water. It's day two and no water. That's okay. Tomorrow, day three, third day's the charm, right? I'm sure Israelites said that too. Third day's the charm. And day three comes, and no water. Did we have enough for 3 days? I'm no scientist, but everything that I read on the internet, and we know we can trust that, said that the outside limit for survival without water at all, 3 days, especially in the wilderness. And in the wilderness, in the baking sun, a day could be dangerous and life-threatening. And now we've gone three and we have not been able to replenish our stores of water. Babies are crying. The elderly are fainting. And still no water. Maybe tomorrow we will finally find water. Day four. Someone sees the water. I wonder what happened in that moment. Did someone look ahead and see the water and shout out, "Water!" When that started rippling through the crowds, did they just send an envoy ahead to make sure, or did they start to rush? And you, with your children suffering, your parents fainting behind you, did you rush to get the water? And in that moment, did you cry out, "Water, we're saved"? And do you realize what happened in that moment? In that moment, all the faith that just 3 days ago you had in Yahweh has now been transferred to water. Water is the Savior. Water is the healer. And then you took the drink, and there was no healing. Bitter water. When it says it was bitter water, it's not just bad tasting water. The fact is, dehydrated people can drink some nasty tasting stuff. It's more likely that we're dealing with salty water, which most of us are aware is worse for our dehydration. Like in the rhyme of the Ancient Mariner, water, water everywhere, nor any drop to drink. There's water, and you thought it was going to be your Savior, but it's now made the situation worse. If only we could have water. Here it is. But there's no salvation there. There's no healing there. And Yahweh says, I'm your healer. Did they need water? No, they needed Yahweh. So having put yourself in the Israelites' shoes, let me ask you, what are your if-onlys? If only this, I have healing. Life will be okay. If only this, I'll be saved. If only I could get a job. If only I could get a raise. If only I could get a promotion. If only I could move. If only I could have a new house. If only I could have a new car. If only this girl would be interested in me, or this boy. If only I could have a girlfriend or a boyfriend. If only I could get married. If only my spouse would have sex with me more. If only my spouse would quit bugging me about sex. If only my boyfriend or girlfriend or husband or wife would be faithful to me. If only I had more money. If only I could lose weight. If only I could be healed from this sickness. If only I could have a tub of ice cream. If only I could have a drink, a smoke, a toke, a snort, a line. If only, then everything would be all right. You know, most of the troublesome sins that we deal with, the ones that plague us, that continue on, they do so because there's a part of us that think they will save us. When we were living in the world, they were what allowed us escape from the hurt, the anger, the loneliness, the tiredness, the weakness. And we drank of that bitter water, but in time, that water, the medicine, has become worse than the sickness. Because it will not heal. Yahweh Rophe, the Lord, our healer, He is all we need. And there's not anything else that we pursue, that we chase, that will provide healing and benefit and escape. Not one single thing. I know, I've tried. And so we need to recognize Yahweh does heal. Yes, Israel spent 3 days there in the wilderness. And of course, if you know the story, you know they spent much more time than that there. And when they came to Marah, the waters were bitter. But God provided the cure. God did heal. Yahweh is the healer. He does heal. Please hang on to that. Please hang on to Him. Because nothing else will heal you. Only Yahweh. And as we consider this, I have a couple of caveats that we need to understand. Because God uses this metaphor of disease and healing, what we might be tempted to do is immediately jump to the idea of physical sickness. We understand that in the New Covenant, God has not promised us a disease-free, a sickness-free life. The fact is, there are Christians that will be diagnosed, faithful, God-fearing, Lord-loving Christians, who will be diagnosed with cancer and they will die from it. We do know that there are Christians who will be diagnosed with diabetes and suffer with it their entire lives. Heart attacks and other things. And we need to remember what it says in Mark chapter 2 and verse 17. In Mark chapter 2 and verse 17, when Jesus heard it, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." What is our sickness? Sin. And where sin causes problems, the Lord heals. And really that applies to some of the other issues that we bring up. God has not necessarily promised that you will have a great marriage, a great career, a wonderful retirement, and a great 401k and savings account. But He has promised to heal your sins, and where sin is destroying, Yahweh heals. And the second thing we need to recognize is that while those other issues are not necessarily what's being considered here, we do need to understand that Yahweh is the healer. And where those other issues get healed, do you know who deserves the credit and the honor and the glory? Yahweh. Because He is the one that heals, and He is the one that blesses. And there's one more caveat that I want to bring up here. You know, when I consider what happened in Exodus chapter 15, I realize that God could have miraculously hydrated the Israelites. God could have just reached down and said, boom, you don't need water. He could have done that. But He didn't. He gave them water. Here's what we need to understand from that. Is that when we declare that Yahweh is our healer, that does not mean that when you're sick, you're not allowed to go to a doctor. That does not mean that if your marriage is in trouble, you're not allowed to go see a counselor. That does not mean that when you're facing emotional and psychological and mental struggles, that you're not allowed to see someone to provide help. I'll tell you what it does mean, though, is that when the water is sweetened, who do you remember did the healing? Yahweh. In Hosea chapter 11 and verse 3, God says this about Israel, calling them Ephraim, "Yet it was I who taught Ephraim to walk. I took them up by their arms, but they did not know that I healed them." And that's the thing that we need to remember. God works through tools and instruments. Sometimes He works through water. But we need to remember that it's Yahweh who gets the credit and Yahweh who gets the glory, because Yahweh does heal. And Yahweh does heal in His time, in His way, for His glory, for His purposes, and for our good. Again, we've already pointed out that the question during those 3 days and when they came to Marah had to be why? Why would God do this? Why would God cause them to go through this wilderness? They didn't know why, but we, with the gift of hindsight, being able to look into Scripture and see the whole story and how things would work out, we know why. God had a purpose. And so in His time, He healed them. In His way, He healed them. For His glory and for His purposes, He healed them. But it was also for their good. He was teaching them a lesson. You don't need water, you need Me, is what He was saying. And if Israel had learned this lesson, don't you know what we're going to read about them for the rest of the Bible would have been so different? But generation after generation forgot this lesson that God tried to teach them in the first week of their freedom. The first week of their freedom, He tried to teach them, I am your healer. What you need is Me. I'm the only thing you need. And if you turn to Me, I will give you all that you need. As He has said to us, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and I will provide all these things. That's the lesson. And what a powerful way they could have learned it. It was for their good. When you're in the middle of your wilderness, you probably won't know why. You'll probably be crying out, why? But remember what it says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to His purpose. This does not mean that everything that happens to you is good. What it does mean is Yahweh Rophe will work everything together for your good, for your healing, for your eternal good and heavenly destiny. In the middle of it, probably not going to understand why. And the fact is, God has never promised to explain every reason why. But there will come a day when you hang on to Yahweh Rophe that you'll look back and you'll be glad you hung on to Him. He uses the wilderness and the bitter waters for our good. And He is a great God who can do that. Trust Him. Trust Him. And so I want to encourage you to listen to Yahweh's prescription. They cried out to Moses, and Moses cried out to Yahweh, and Yahweh showed him a tree. I have to tell you, this makes absolutely no sense to me. I've read in some commentaries where they say that there are some people who have tried to claim that there is some kind of plant in this area of the world that when thrown into salty water does make it fresh, but nobody's actually been able to produce that plant. And those commentators say that as well. There's absolutely no scientific evidence, no observable evidence of any plant that you can drop in bitter water and it's going to make it okay. Understand what that means. God did not show Moses, here's the natural remedy. What God showed Moses was something miraculous. And while it makes absolutely no sense, and if I'm Moses and God says, hey, see that tree over there? Pick that up, go throw it in the water, everything's going to be okay. What? How's that going to work? But what did Moses do? He went and got the tree and he put it in the water, and what happened to the water? The water was healed. And Yahweh healed His people. What do we learn from that? Do what God says. Follow His prescription. In fact, Yahweh codifies that in this text in verse 26. If you will diligently listen to the voice of the Lord your God and do that which is right in His eyes, give ear to His commandments and keep His statutes, I'll put none of the diseases on you that I put on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord your healer. In that verse, he goes back to Exodus chapter 7. Where God sent, if you will, bitter waters to the Egyptians, turning their water to blood. And they were embittered, tired of drinking that. And what God highlights to them when they put that tree in, as God said, He says, look, if you do what I say, if you follow my prescriptions, you won't deal with those diseases. And he highlights what is stated in Deuteronomy 32 and verse 39, where God says, I kill and I give life. I wound and I heal. And none can deliver from my hand. Listen to what he says. You remember Jesus' parable in Matthew chapter 7? In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. Listen to what he says. Do what he says. He's not trying to crimp your style. He's not trying to ruin your fun. He's giving you the prescription for healing and for life. Yahweh Rophe. Nothing else will heal you. Listen to what he says. Yahweh Rophe. Someone has said, if your list of Old Testament prophecies that point to Jesus the Messiah does not include every verse of the Old Testament, your list is too short. And this account demonstrates that. Did you notice that following Israel's baptism in the Red Sea, they went into the wilderness, just as Jesus in Matthew 4, following his baptism, went into the wilderness. Did you notice they were in the wilderness for 3 days, just as Jesus was in the ground for 3 days? Did you notice that it was healed by a tree, just as we are healed by Jesus Christ on a tree? This account tells us some great things about Yahweh Rophe. It tells us some great things about his relationship with Israel. But please be aware, it also tells us about Yahashua Rophe, Jesus, our healer. It points to the one who truly provides healing. And there is no other. Jesus, who came into this world and lived as one of us and died for us. And I don't know what you're facing, but I hope you will remember Romans chapter 8 and verse 32. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 32, Yahweh, who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not graciously give us all things? In Matthew chapter 9, Matthew chapter 9, verses 12 and 13. But when Jesus heard it, he said, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. Jesus, Yahashua, is the great physician. He is the healer. And whatever wilderness you find yourself in, remember that in order to heal you, God sent Jesus to the cross. And if he would do that, there is not anything he won't do to make sure you are healed. Did you hear that? If God would do that, There is not anything he won't do to make sure you are healed. Hang on to him. Hang on to only him. Yahweh Rophe, the Lord is your healer. Praise the Lord. If you'd like, put away your notes. You can pull out your songbooks. If you don't want to use the songbook, that's fine. We're going to have the words up on the screen behind me. Number 490, It Is Well With My Soul. When peace like a river attendeth my way. Oh, that is so awesome, isn't it? In Jesus Christ, we do have times of peace. What wondrous times. When sorrows like sea billows roll. That happens too. Whatever my lot, you've taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Why? Because Jesus went to the cross for your soul. He's the healer. And I struggle with teaching lessons like one today because there's so much emphasis on the troubles and the turmoils that happen, as it almost makes it sound like being a Christian is no different than just being in the world, and you become a Christian and life is still just awful. That's not true. It's really not. But there are tough times, even as a Christian. But I'm going to tell you this. And it embarrasses me and it shames me that I can actually share this with you from experience. But I've tried it both ways. I've tried it without God. And I've tried it with God. And I've tried it as a Christian, putting God on the back burner. Still preaching my sermons, but hanging out in my sins. And I know which one's better. Because I can promise you this. My worst day with Jesus is better than my best day without Him. Because Jesus is my healer. And I would have Him heal you too. If you would like Jesus to heal you this morning, He said, he that believes and is baptized will be saved. If we can help you with that this morning, please, as we stand and sing this song, won't you come down to the front so we can introduce you to Yahweh Rophe, our healer. Won't you come right now as we stand and sing?